So at yesterday's Taisho, I shared a kind of humorous cautionary tale from the movie WALL-E about a robot and how this robot encountered a futuristic human realm where humans were each on their individual little cars on superhighways with screens in front of their eyes, sipping on soft drinks, and they were all morbidly obese. So today I have a different tale, but the central message is quite similar. So I'm going to read this tale, and now this comes from several different Chinese fairy tales, ghost tales, I guess they're called. And this is a very famous story in China. And so this is the story of a woman called Sei. And the title of this is Sei and Her Soul Are Separated. So I'll read you this story. The story of Sei's two souls comes in various Chinese books of ghost stories and is as follows. In a place called, and by the way, these are Japanese names. This is a Chinese story, but Japanese is a lot easier for Westerners to pronounce. So I think that's why they had the Japanese here. In a place called Koyo lived a man, Chokan, whose youngest daughter, Sei, was very beautiful and the pride of her father. So this man, Chokan, was the dad. She had a handsome cousin named Ochu. And Chokan, as a joke, used to say that they would make a fine married couple. The two young people, however, took this chafing seriously and thought of themselves as engaged, being in love with each other. The father, however, intended to give her, say, in marriage to another young man, Hinryo. And tragedy could not be avoided. Ochu, who was the cousin that loved Sei, and vice versa, Ochu left the place in indignation by boat, and after several days' journey in the boat, one evening, he found to his astonishment that Sei was on the same boat. Overjoyed, they went to the country of Shoku, where they lived several years and had two children. Sei, however, could not forget her native place and said she had deserted her father and wondered what was he thinking of her. So her husband decided to go back together with her to their former place. When they arrived at the father's house, Sei's husband got off the boat and went up and spoke to the father and apologized for taking his daughter away from her home and begged him to forgive both of them. "What is the meaning of all this?" exclaimed the father. "Who is this woman?" "This is Sei," Ochu said. "Nonsense," said Chokan. "Sei became ill and was in bed for several years. That's not Sei at all." Ochu went back to the boat, and there was Sei, and he brought her to the father's house. The Sei lying in bed, being told of this, when the Sei came from the boat, arose from her bed, went towards her, and the two became one. Chokan said that, after Ochu had left, his daughter never spoke and lay there as if in a stupor. The soul must have gone from the body. Sei said that she didn't know her body was in the house. When she felt Ochu's love and saw him go, she followed him as if in a dream. But after that, she remembered nothing. So that's the story. Now, there's actually a koan based on this story. In the Mumonkan, it's koan number 35, and its title is Sei and Her Soul Are Separated. And I'll read you the koan. So this is the case. So Goso, this master, asked a monk, and remember, this is a very famous story. Probably every Chinese child learns this story. Goso asked a monk, Se and her soul are separated. Which is the true person? I'll read you the commentary by Mumon and then the verse, and then we'll discuss this. So the commentary goes, if you are enlightened concerning what real things are, you will know that we pass from one husk to another like travelers in a night's lodging house. But if you are not enlightened, you rush about wildly. Suddenly, earth, water, fire, and air are separated. And like a crab with its seven arms and eight legs in boiling water, you struggle. Don't say I didn't warn you. And this is the verse. The moon among the clouds is ever the same. Valleys and mountains are in constant change. What a happy thing it all is. Is this one? Is this two? Okay. So this is actually a quite difficult koan, and there are a couple of others in the Mumon Kan similar to this. They're considered very, very difficult, very steep koan. Maybe I'll bring another one up after this one. But this is about the human condition, how we are divided. Now, if you remember to yesterday's story about Wall-E, what happens when we get really divided is we begin to pursue things we think are important. We get very engrossed in them, involved in them. We get lost in them. We forget something that's left behind. And we think that this is the way to happiness. And we pursue these things very intently and make them so real and so important. And perhaps we have some success. But eventually something feels wrong, something's missing, we don't know what it is. Maybe the success turns sour, because everything's temporary. And we wonder, what happened? I had lost myself somewhere along the way. Now, in an extreme form, we destroy the earth. We end up having to leave it. With our modern technology, we create some alternative world where we go all the way to the extreme of this separated entity lying on a separate vehicle, not moving, with a screen in front of it, distracted, drinking soft drinks. Or perhaps we separate in a different way. We separate into belief systems. We hold to these. We make them real. We make them deathly important. And we start to destroy anything standing in the way. Both of these things happen right now in this world. We have the pursuit of name and fame, so to speak, riches, success, college degrees, accumulating friends, all this stuff. It's all very natural, part of the human condition. But we somehow think that that's all there is. And it's outside, we're pursuing it, we're never quite getting there. Now when you get something that you thought you wanted, it doesn't quite do it. I just got a little bit more, and I need more, maybe it's something different, I need this, I need that, and on and on and on, the human condition. As someone wisely put it, it's never enough until it's too much. And even when it's too much, it's never enough. So we keep on going. We start to deny global warming because it's getting in the way of what we want to accomplish, which is to make lots of money and to go anywhere we want in our individual vehicles. So we ignore certain things that are right there, right under our nose. We ignore them. We believe they're not real. Testing's not done yet. A lot of scientists don't agree. They don't know. We just keep on going and going. Ignoring something deep inside that we just put away. This is Say in that boat. She was bitterly disappointed. She was pissed. She was angry at her father. She got in this boat and followed her dream. Went with her lover. Had a family, had two kids, all the rest of it. Symbolic. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Any of that at all. It's just that something along the way got divided. Something got divided. So that this life away from her home became very dreamlike. She started going through the motions. She didn't know why. I have everything I want. I'm with my lover. I have two children. We have a beautiful house. Two beautiful cars. We go on vacation. But it all seems like a dream. There's something missing. I don't know what it is. We all know what that feels like. Now, how about the Say that stayed behind? My father, what a bastard! Oh, I can't live my life. That's it, my life is over. I'm going to bed. I can't face the world. I'm a loser. I'll never be happy. I'll just crawl under the covers. And I'll lie here and rot. You can see these two extremes. Now, I'm presenting them in a kind of a caricature fashion, but how true they are. How true. Now, most of us, most human beings, and this is an aspect of the human condition, have part of themselves lying in this bed sick, and part of themselves frenetically involved with the so-called world outside. They identify with some painful place that isn't right, that has to be fixed, but also has to be hidden away. They leave it behind in bed. But they brood over it. They think about it. And then in the world, they try to push it away and they forget it. They forget about it. They go through the motions and this becomes dreamlike. And it doesn't bring the happiness that they thought it would bring. Why? Because there's a deep division. There's an entity with characteristics inside, quote, that's quotes around it, air quotes, inside, peering out at this so-called happy, involved, engaged person with all sorts of degrees and success and money and friends, perhaps. If we paint a very rosy picture, which is probably not true for most of us. But the two are utterly separated. Now, which one of these two is the real person? the entity inside, or the active individual out in the world talking and striving and struggling? Which is the real person? That's what this koan is asking. On one level. So Goso asked a monk, Se and her soul are separated. Which is the true person? What a classic trap. Which is the true person? The one in bed, the one out in the world. The one inside peering out through the eyes, listening through the ears. Or the world out there. Which is real? Now, how would you resolve this question? How does this particular thing we're doing here deal with this question? This is the key point. Now, in this so-called external world, the world outside this hearer, outside this seer, outside this knower, that world, the separated entity inside examines it very closely. Very, very closely. What is it? Basui put it this way. He was on his deathbed and he said to his monks, look directly. What is this? Don't be fooled by it. Look directly. Look directly. Zazen is the method of looking directly. Ordinarily, we think we are using a self to hear a sound, using a self to see a sight. I'm in here. Now, when I'm in here, thoughts arise. I begin to apply subtle descriptions to this thing inside. It's separated, it's there, it's real, it's got characteristics. Some of them good, some of them painful. And they solidify over a long period of time into a self standing apart. And we do the same with the world. We give it its meanings, its importances, its valences. We split things up into what I want and what I don't want. Remember what the third patriarch said. The great way is not difficult for those who don't pick and choose between what is right and what is wrong, what I want and what I don't want, what's good and what's bad, all these opposites. Now, on one level, there's truth to these things. Pollution is bad. Conservation is good. Absolutely. But Basri said, don't be fooled. What is it? Look directly. Look directly. What is it? What is it? Well, sticking with these divisions and doing all these things to hold on to only the good stuff and get rid of the bad stuff, even if that were possible, will that heal this division? Will that fix the deep problem? So, we look directly at this so-called outside world. Directly. You think of, say, living her life having forgotten, going through the motions, doing things in a dream, following an idea of how it ought to be done, what's right and what's wrong, and going on and on and on, only half alive. And then someone says, say, pay attention. Pay very close attention. Look directly at this. Don't be fooled by all your ideas about it. What is it? What is it made of? What is its substance? What is it, say? Now the say in bed, identifying with how she was wronged by her bastard father. She lost everything. No one would love her anyway. And that Hinryu, what a jerk. On and on and on. The internal battle, the internal dialogue. Pulling you one way, pulling you the other way. Oh, I just wish I could be rid of it all. Maybe I'll just end it all. What would you say to this say? Say, look directly. What is it? What is it that is saying all these things, that is thinking all these things, that is feeling all these things? Look directly into it. What is it? As I sometimes say, and as is said in the Buddhist literature, say needs to shine the light of the mind in on itself. What is this mind? Does it have characteristics? Is it an entity? Is it divided off from everything else? Is it separated from everything else? What is it? Remember the Heart Sutra. What did the Bodhisattva of Compassion say? No eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, no color, sound, smell, taste, touch, or what the mind takes hold of. What is this emptiness? What is it? Now, in our penetrating zazen, we do this too. We look directly at it. What is it? Particularly with koan mu. What is mu? What is it? To put it in a different way, what is it made of? What is its substance? Where does it come from? What is its source, with a capital S? Or what is it that's hearing this sound? What is that? What is hearing? What is it? See this movement. Very funny, this practice. It seems to go to both utter extremes. But to go to an extreme is to go all the way out and find that it's just one circle. It's not separated. It's one thing. If this essence has no color, no form, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, but what is it? It can't possibly stand in opposition to anything with color, sound, smell, taste, touch. It can't. That is the reality of everything with color, sound, smell, taste, touch. It's its reality. Now when Say is lying in bed and she does this kind of work, disidentifying with all the thoughts, feelings, certainty about what kind of person she is, etc., etc. In the Zen literature, this is called first rank practice. First rank. Title of the first rank is the apparent, okay, so this so-called outside world, this world of form, the apparent, within the real. In other words, the apparent swallowed up by the real. Swallowed up by it. In the third watch of the night before the moon appears, no wonder when we meet there's no recognition. Can't see anything particular about it. Can't see that it's good, can't see that it's bad, can't see that it's ripped off, successful, wealthy, poor. Can't see that. I'm not looking in that direction. What is it? This is a very difficult point. Now, when people take this to the max, all the way to the extreme, they enter what is called absolute samadhi. It's from this state that people very often will burst into this realization of what this world is, as Bhāsuī says, not being fooled. Look directly. What is this? This is a very difficult call, because it's not the ordinary way we utilize the mind and our life. Now, following the breath, shikantaza, or working with a koan such as mu by just mu, only mu. We are intently looking directly at the world that previously seemed outside. It seemed to, as they say, exist. Remember, the sixth patriarch said, from the very beginning, not a single thing has ever existed. Not a single thing is ever ex. Outside, ist, stand. Not a single thing has ever stood outside the mind. We look directly. In other words, not using the mind. We don't use the separated entity inside, peering out through eyes, hearing out through ears, this seemingly solid entity that most of the time is lying sick abed. We look directly. This is shikantaza. This is following the breath. Just. This is just. Either direction you go, you come to the same exact place. Same place. How does Mumon put it here? So I'll reread his commentary. If you are enlightened concerning what real things are, you will know that we pass from one husk to another like travelers in a night's lodging house. What is it that's passing? Don't be tricked by these words. Is there something passing? Or is it husk to husk to husk? Just this husk, then that husk, then that husk, then that husk. Each one shining something. But if you are not enlightened, you rush about wildly, clinging, holding on. I can't let it go. Suddenly, earth, water, fire, and air are separated because everything is temporary. And like a crab with its seven legs and eight arms, in boiling water, you struggle. Don't say I didn't warn you. And the verse. The moon among the clouds is ever the same. The moon among the clouds is ever the same. This moon, all right? So the moon is a very well-known symbol in Zen. Why was the moon picked as the symbol of this, as Wang Po puts it, one mind? There's only one moon. The moon shines with a glow. It lights up the dark. But it never blinds you. It's shining constantly from every single thing. And then he says, valleys and mountains are in constant change. So all these different things, the rain outside, the feeling of my knees on the cushion, the smell of the incense wafting past, these are all in constant change. They all are apparently separate. Incense smell is not the same as rain sound, right? True. How wonderful. We can enjoy all these different things, all these wonderful variations, never forgetting what they actually are, what their substance is, by looking directly. This is the moon among the clouds. The moon is among the clouds, not standing apart. I can't tell the difference between the moon and the cloud. They're all one glowing light. Can't tell. And then he asks this final question. Is this one? Is this two? If you say one, you've made a mistake. If you say two, you've made a mistake. What is it? Now, last night, I talked about bodhisattva action. Talked about saving sentient beings. How do you save this sentient being caught in duality, struggling, wanting this and not getting it, wanting that? How do you save it? How do you save this sentient being? What is this sentient being? What is it? What is it made of? What is its substance? Look directly. It is not disconnected from this one thing. It is this one thing. As they say, like the salt and water, like the binder and paint. When the eye is in proper focus, one sees that everything one looks upon is the source, is the source. Okay, so we'll end there today.